Caro, Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia. July 19, 1900. Dear brother, yesterday morning, just as the mail was closing, I wrote you a short letter. I could not then write fully, but will now write some things, fearing that my former letter may be misunderstood. I have been so distressed, as I have seen Dr. Kellogg's pressure for means for various enterprises that have brought confusion and dearth of means. I have written to you that you should not repeat the same experience in this country. Many complaints have come to me regarding the high charges for your operations. Such charges are greatly injuring your medical missionary work and, with some outsiders, are bringing disrepute upon the sanitarium. This has been against us as a people. It has been a great burden on my soul. It is bringing the so-called medical missionary work into disrepute, so that it is bandied about and ridiculed as a scheme to get gain. Warnings and cautions have been given on these points from the Lord. Dr. Rand and yourself both need to be converted in some things in regard to medical practice, else we should never assume the name medical missionary. Where does the missionary come in? These things are injuring your reputation, and the Lord will not bless fraud in any phase of business transaction. The medical profession in general carries a heavy stock of unjust exactions, but shall we copy their sins? We are reformers. We are supposed to be pursuing a course that will represent the character of perfect humanity, the pure, elevated character of Christ. A well-established purpose of strictest integrity in things that are least will be carried with us into the larger responsibilities. Sanctified hearts will always reveal sanctified principles. A clear spiritual eyesight will materially change your practice and Dr. Rand's in regard to charges. You both need to learn precious lessons in regard to what is comprehended in genuine missionary work. I have written in regard to the urging of means from our people who have interests that they must maintain in their own borders. But this does not restrict you from presenting the present necessity of our sanitarium. Some of our people were not present when at the Geelong camp meeting we presented the urgent necessities of the sanitarium. Some gave liberally. There may be some now whose hearts may be stirred to make donations if the subject is properly laid before them. The Lord can move upon the hearts of our people in this emergency. I think that but few of our people attended the Adelaide meeting, and they might be moved upon by the Spirit of the Lord to do something. Since writing my last letter, I have thought of a sister in Melbourne who might help if you addressed her personally. Sister Failer is her name. She has a daughter who is not a believer. I have had the field in Victoria opened before me as one that must be worked. So also in Adelaide. At the Geelong camp meeting, I presented matters in this way, that each one should do his best to give us a standing place in Sydney, and when they should be ready to build a sanitarium in Melbourne, we would be as interested to help them, but that all which should, in time, be done in Melbourne could not be accomplished now. For at present, they were not prepared to build a sanitarium in Melbourne. There was not the proper talent for physicians or managers. Let the sanitarium in Sydney be first erected, and let all who can help forward this enterprise so much needed just now. Then they would better understand how to erect a building in Melbourne. They would have opportunity to consider how in some things the building could be improved. If one sanitarium, the first established by our people in this country, can have the help required to meet the necessities of the case, then, when the right time comes for an institution in Melbourne, if we all work upon the Lord's plan, there will be, in His providence, men of ability, wise men, found to take hold of the work. but at present, Melbourne is not ready. Reflection and discrimination will be all essential in providing suitable help, physicians, nurses, and managers. These who think deeply will act wisely. As I transfer from my diary some things written while at the Geelong camp meeting, it seems to me still clearer that the first effort should be made just where it should be made, in New South Wales. We have come to the time when our first building must be erected without delay. Under the wisest of counselors, we hope that the work will be done on an economical plan, guarding against the mistakes which have been made in America and in Europe. These mistakes should be salutary admonitions for us in the building of the first sanitarium in this country. As workers together with God, we are to observe where others have failed in like enterprises and make improvements, not copy their mistakes. In all our advanced line of work, we must regard the necessity of economy.
There must be no needless expense. Our institution must not appear before the world as an expensive, ornamental show. The Lord is soon to come, and all our outlay in buildings is to be in harmony with our faith. Those who desire to be accommodated and assisted in an emergency must themselves be accommodating and ready to assist others who in their emergency require aid. Here is the wisdom of the rule given by the Lord. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Matthew 7, verse 12. I have felt so fearful that in this emergency, in our great desire to see our sanitarium in running order, our calls for means should be so urgent as to bring oppression upon our brethren. This was why I wrote you as I did. But I dare not let the matter rest there. There is a positive necessity upon us. Yet if we do not love our neighbor as ourselves and love God's law, in every action lifting up the precious banner of surpassing excellency, the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus, we shall not glorify our Redeemer. It should be our ambition to excel in all things that are unselfish, high, and good. Let us not commit one act of oppression. Never do anything in business transactions that shall mar our representation of the character of God's holy, just, and good law. In every work, let principles, purposes, words, and deeds of a pure, unselfish character. Let truth, goodness, usefulness, and Christ's righteousness appear to all men. We must not regard pretense and show as a mark of greatness, but present the holy ambition that Christ has revealed in his life, an ambition to make the world better for our having lived in it. We must imitate Christ. God help us to walk in all humility of mind. Action reveals our value with God. Outside elegance is nothing. Solid good sense we need to bring into practical life. Now I will leave this letter with you. May the Lord bless and purify and sanctify every action, is my most earnest prayer.